Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Annika Smith, and today we are here in sunny Seattle with Dr. William Dembski, who has been teaching at Discovery Institute's summer seminars on intelligent design. Dr. Dembski, thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, you're a really busy guy, and you do a lot of teaching in your normal job during the school year, and yet here you are in the middle of July in Seattle. That would seem to indicate that there's something important going on here to keep you teaching on your vacation. Why are you here, Dr. Dembski, and why is this worth your time?
Well, I live in Texas. It's about 110 degrees there at this time, and it's a lot balmier here in Seattle, so that's one reason. No, actually, the reason I'm here is that there are, usually in the summers here at Discovery, there are about 30 students who are very eager to learn about intelligent design, people who will run with this program, and there's a real need with this, unlike a lot of areas in the natural and social sciences where if you get into them, there are rewards waiting for you, careers in intelligent design, there really isn't. In fact, there are a lot of disincentives for getting involved in intelligent design. So for me to be here and encourage young people to run with these ideas despite the obstacles that they're likely to encounter in the academy, it's something I feel I need to do.
Wow, that's really good. Now, these particular students that we have this year, do you find them encouraged? Do you find them excited about this? What seems to be their state?
Yeah. It certainly seems that their enthusiasm level is high. In fact, I think it's probably higher than mine right now, where I'm working on 3 hours of sleep. But I've been here only a few hours, and so I've gotten to know maybe five or six students just talking to them about different things. But they certainly seem motivated, interested, bright, and that's encouraging to me.
Yeah, this is a really encouraging place to be, to see sort of the future and the hope of intelligent design. Are you, and I know you mentioned you've only been here a few hours, but already you get a sense of that that future and that trust that is placed here in these young minds. What hope, beyond just these students in particular, but also with them as a part of it, what hope do you have for intelligent design in the future as the movement grows?
Yeah, it's interesting to put it in terms of a movement, because I think that for many people, especially those opposed to intelligent design, connotes an agenda politically driven, where we're trying to ram something down the culture. And I really don't see it that way. I think it's good also to think of intelligent design as a community of thought, a community of support, because there's a lot of opposition to these ideas. And I think that really is important, that we are here to encourage each other, but also to get the work done. And I think there's a lot of controversy and argumentation and just dismissiveness, especially on the other side, toward these ideas. And to get a perspective where it's, hey, we're not just going to engage in mudslinging, but we're going to try to develop these ideas positively in a way where we can make a difference, advance science, get insights, especially into the biological world, that you could not really get from a Darwinian materialistic perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what I want to see with this. And 30 people, I mean, those numbers in absolute terms are small, but you have to start where you are, and 30 people that are motivated, mm-hmm. I think, can go a long way, and they will influence others. And if we keep doing this summer after summer, I think the impact will be large. And so I think you can never underestimate just even the impact that you can have on one person. I mean, one person who can think through these ideas profoundly, make deep advances. I mean, I think there's no question in my mind that intelligent design is fallow ground. I mean, it has been an area that has not been worked for many, many years because this Darwinian materialistic viewpoint has been so dominant. And so if these ideas, if this field, as it were, can be plowed, I think that there is treasure to be reaped, if to mix my metaphors, and that what we need are bright, talented people who are inspired. And I have no doubt that eventually there will be intelligent design will lead to insights that will be worthy of a Nobel Prize. Whether it gets a Nobel Prize, given how politicized that whole thing has become, remains to be seen. But I think the potential is there. I mean, I've seen in my own research. Not that I'm saying we're not talking Nobel Prize material here, but I've had the sense over the last 20 years that I've worked this area that one idea has led to another idea has led to another. Mm-hmm. So there's always something to be working on. There are always exciting ideas to be mined and to be developed further. And you make new connections with colleagues. And there are always people who are interested in working these ideas. I mean, I found really at just about any campus I've spoken at, there have been people, professors, grad students who've come to me and said, hey, is there something we can do here, some area of research, and exploring possibilities there. But it's very much a minority position still. And I think that's what makes it difficult, getting a critical mass. 10 years ago, I had a Center for Intelligent Design Research at Baylor University, and we really, that was shut down within a year of its founding, really. And so we still don't have something like this, and the Academy has fiercely resisted that anything like this would be repeated. So we press on, but I think eventually the tide will turn.
And you mentioned the fertility of the field of ID for future research and for how one idea, as you said, leads to another, which is certainly an incentive for these young scientists to go in. But you also mentioned the disincentives to pursuing ID. What advice would you have for a young ID scientist and how they should pursue these lines of research, what they should look into, and what pitfalls they should look out for?
Well, I think you have to be honest with yourself. If you really want to be an academic star, a big shot, and be respected by the Harvard, Stanford's, University of Chicago's, be fully accepted in the mainstream, then I think you really need to look for a different field, because intelligent design is not going to offer you that. On the other hand, if you want a community where people are committed to trying to uncover the truth of the matter about biological complexity and the information that's required to build complex biological systems, and are willing to take the hits for that, then I think you won't get the recognition that you might want from certain areas, but I think there'll be at least the satisfaction of having done a good day's work. But I think you need to go into this with your eyes open. I mean, the disincentives are real. I mean, the monies will dry up if you go upfront about your views on intelligent design as a grad student, not so much, I think, as an undergrad. Undergrads, professors may tend to be forgiving and say, well, this is just a naive undergrad, and when he or she knows more, they'll come to see it my way. But once you start getting into grad school, postdocs, tenure track positions, at that point you're expected to follow toe the line, follow the customs of the trade. And at that point, declaring for intelligent design is likely to get you into a lot of trouble. And not just in the secular academy. I mean, many of the schools and the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities are thoroughly theistic evolutionists, which means not that they think God discernibly did something in the evolutionary process, but that God set up a process in which no discernment of the divine or any sort of intelligence is evident. There's nothing there to be seen of God's handiwork. So there's a lot of resistance to these ideas. In fact, I think some of the Christian schools are perhaps even more resistant to these ideas than the secular schools, because in a sense they're now arguing not only is it bad science, but it's bad theology. They think that evolution is the best thing that ever happened to theology, and that by making peace with Darwin, we're advancing the Christian cause, which is insanity when you really think about it. And yet, that is a very common view these days. I mean, Francis Collins and the whole group around the BioLogos people—that's the line which they push, and they're getting a big hearing, and they're confusing a lot of people.
Well, Dr. Dembski, I know our students are looking forward to hearing more from you later, so we'll cut this short, but I just want to say thank you so much for being with us on ID the Future.
Annika, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.